All right. Well, I just can't get enough of saying this today. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. Today is Easter, and today is all about life. Jesus died, but he has defeated death. Really, I looked this up. It happened 6,138 and a half miles from this spot. I looked it up on Google Maps. According to the best dates we can figure, 1,984 years ago, give or take a few years, a 35-year-old man, give or take a couple years, he was executed on Friday afternoon, and he rose from the dead on Sunday morning. How cool is that? He is risen. And if we are looking for life, real life, authentic life, which I believe we all are looking for real life, then it makes sense to look to the one man who conquered death, who overcame death, which is the opposite of life. If we're all looking for life and we're all looking for real life and authentic life in one way or another, I think that one thing that I've realized about myself this Lenten season, one thing I've realized about myself is that I have spent a lot of time looking for life. Many of you know my story. It's really nothing special, but I'm kind of one of those people who has in the past, I've bounced around between different vocations, between different passions, different interests. I used to be an engineer. Now I'm a pastor. I've done different things in my life. And now I think as I maybe bounced around somewhat, one of the things I was looking for was life. I've looked for life in competition, for example. In high school, when I was in high school and when I was in college too, one of my hobbies was, and really still is, but I had a lot more time for it then, one of my hobbies was playing video games. Many of us have played video games here. I played a lot with my friends, and I'm not a professional by any means. And if you didn't know, yes, there are professional competitive video game players. I'm not a professional by any means, but I was pretty good. Not to brag, I was pretty good, at least among the people I played with. And the excitement of competition, the thrill of winning, that felt like life, doesn't it? But eventually, you know, that feeling wears off. Or when that didn't do it, how about exercise? Again, when I had a lot more time in my life as a student, I spent several years really exercising, running miles every other day, going to the gym often. And many of you know this feeling too. When you push your body hard and you see just what you can do, that feels like life. But that feeling doesn't last either. Or how about understanding, learning, understanding the world. I'm a pastor now. I said I used to be an engineer. And as an engineer, the challenge of understanding the world around me, the challenge of diving into some really dense mathematics and actually solving a problem that I had to spend hours thinking about, that felt like life. Having that breakthrough that leads to a solution, that felt like life. And maybe you know that feeling too. And if you know that feeling, then you know that that too doesn't last. So competition, athletics, learning, these are some of the things that feel like life to me. And maybe you know those feelings too. Or maybe you look for life somewhere else. Maybe you look for life in travel, and you either do, or maybe you just dream of, because travel's really expensive. You dream of circling the world to experience different cultures, different cities, different languages. Maybe you look for life in new experiences and new adventures. Maybe you look for life in friendships and in relationships, and so you surround yourself with people because activity, because commotion, conversation, connections with people around you, that feels like life. Maybe you look for life in crafting a new identity for yourself, making yourself into a new person. You weren't happy with the old one, or the old one just didn't quite feel right, and so you thought that discovering a new you would let you finally really live. Or maybe to go someplace a little darker, maybe you have looked for life in drugs or alcohol because that experience, that high, felt like life. Or you have looked for life in sex. You've looked for life in theft or crime. You've looked for life in personal power, plain old personal wealth, or some other place. We're all looking for life in our own ways. So what's yours? The truth is that no matter where we're looking for life, no matter how we try to give ourselves that feeling, it doesn't last, does it? And so it's inevitable. We jump from one thing to another. We burn out, and eventually, if we're only looking for life within ourselves, if we're only looking for life in what we can do, then eventually we give up, and we say the best thing I can hope for is maybe a decent death. Well, Mary Magdalene, on that first Easter morning, we read about her a moment ago, she had given up on life. She had given up on Jesus. Mary, try to imagine her, who she is, her character. Mary, you can imagine, she had followed Jesus for years, 2 or 3 years, as he had taught and performed many miracles. And Mary began following Jesus after, the Gospel of Luke tells us, Mary began following Jesus after Jesus had healed her and driven out 7 demons from her. And so we don't know what Mary's life was like before she met Jesus, not exactly, but we know it wasn't good. We know that Mary lived a life of bondage. We know that Mary lived a life of really slavery to sin and sinfulness. But then Mary met this man, Jesus, who came to her and healed her. Jesus set Mary free from the demons that tormented her. Jesus turned Mary into a new woman. And then following Jesus, Mary had learned God's own truth. Mary learned who she was to the Lord. Mary learned, following Jesus, Mary knew what life really was. And as she followed this man who spoke the words of life, Mary then had life. Mary knew life when she was with Jesus. But then came Good Friday. Then Jesus died. That Good Friday, Mary saw Jesus nailed to a cross. On Good Friday, Mary saw Jesus, she saw the Roman soldier stab him in the gut with a spear. On Good Friday, Mary saw them place Jesus' lifeless body in a tomb on Friday afternoon. And so then Mary didn't know what to do. The man who had given her life was now dead. And the best Mary thought that she could do now was maybe give Jesus a decent death. And so that's what she was doing that Sunday morning. She was going to prepare his body with spices, with perfumes and ointments to give him a decent death. Mary was walking to the tomb early on Sunday morning when she saw that the tomb had been opened. And she looked inside and her Lord was gone. So Mary turned around, she ran back to the disciples and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Because she's still thinking about death. She's still given up on life. She's looking for a body. So the disciples go to see too, John and Peter, and they too have given up on life. Peter and John look inside the empty tomb, but then John tells us they still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They believed that Mary, they believed he was gone, but they didn't know that he had to rise from the dead. And so Peter and John return to the other disciples while Mary stands there crying. And then you almost have to imagine this scene in your head because this is one of the most striking scenes in the whole Bible. Mary is crying. She's standing there outside the tomb. She's weeping. The tomb itself is probably maybe waist high, chest high, a rock in the side of the hill. There's a hole in it in which they would have put the body, and he would have come out. The stone is rolled aside. Mary is there crying. And then as she wept, she bent over to look into that tomb and she saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the foot and one at the and the other at the head of the stone where Jesus had been laid. And now we don't know what Mary is thinking. Maybe she is simply overcome with grief, but she sees these angels, and this is one of the only times in Scripture where someone sees an angel and they aren't immediately terrified. So the angels speak to Mary and they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Well, they've taken my Lord away," she says, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, although she didn't realize it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" And Mary thinks he's the gardener. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Mary is still thinking about death. She's not thinking about life. Mary still hasn't realized that Jesus lived. And so when she turns around, she sees a man standing there. And maybe looks over her shoulder. She doesn't look closely. Jesus must have been dressed quite plainly because Mary thinks he's just that gardener, just a laborer in the garden. And then something happens that brings reality back into focus for Mary. Something happens that takes Mary's thoughts away from death and brings her back to life. Something happens that brings Mary back to real life, to lasting life. And what happens is Jesus speaks to her. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turns toward him fully and she cries out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. That was Mary's word for Jesus. So from death to life, from hopelessness to joy, from tears to gladness, and what made the difference for Mary was Jesus spoke to her. Jesus shared words of life for her. And that made all the difference, because when Jesus spoke to Mary, when Mary saw that he was alive, Mary saw that life didn't have to come from within herself. Mary saw that she didn't have to get everything right in order to live rightly. Mary saw that the Lord of life himself had overcome death, and he was once again offering her life. Jesus' words of life transformed Mary from that day on. Jesus sent Mary to go and tell the disciples about all that she had seen and heard, and Mary did so. And later, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, the rest of the disciples that afternoon or evening, then his words of life transformed their lives as well. And then these few followers of an executed man, it's hard to imagine a worse start than that. These few followers of an executed man began a movement which grew and grew and grew until the whole world heard about how this one man, Jesus, the Son of God, had overcome death, and that he now offered life and forgiveness and salvation to anyone who would receive him. Jesus' words of life transformed Mary and the disciples that day. And Jesus' words of life have transformed millions, even billions of believers between then and now. And Jesus' words of life have the power to transform you and me today. I said, we're all looking for life somewhere. And I asked you earlier, where are you looking for life? And you see that nothing we can do, nothing we can come up with, gives us real life. Nothing we can do. There's no competition, no effort, no learning, no travel, no experience, no adventure, no friend or spouse, no self-identity or self-discovery, no drug or high or personal accomplishment can give us real life. Nothing can do that for us. If we want to have real life, then we need to receive it. If we want to have real life, then we need to receive it from the one man who can give it to us, and that is Jesus. And apart from Christ, our own efforts will never last. Apart from Christ, we have nothing to look forward to but death. So, do you need the life that Jesus gives? I know I do. And I know that what we all need to hear, what we all need to hear are Jesus' words of life. Just as Jesus called out Mary, he's calling your name too. Do you need the life that Jesus gives? Let me encourage you to come and hear the words of Jesus, that you are loved, you are a child of God, you are forgiven, and you are given new life through the power of the cross and the empty tomb. But let me tell you also, this is something that we need to hear more than once or twice a year. I said that Jesus transformed Mary, Jesus transformed those disciples, and he did that. But even when Jesus was speaking to them face to face, even when Jesus lived with them, he slept with them, he ate with them, he woke up in the morning with them, he spent all of his time with his disciples, teaching them, shaping them, transforming them, Jesus spent 2 or 3 years doing that with his disciples before he died. And he spent another 40 days doing that with his disciples once he rose from the dead. It's not a once or twice sort of thing. Sometimes we just want to ask ourselves, you know, how much is really enough? How much do I really need to go to church? How much do I really need to connect with the people of God? How often do I really need to hear the Lord's words of life for me? But Jesus' words of life for you are a gift. And when we see Jesus rightly, when we see Jesus like Mary did on that Sunday morning, when we see Jesus as our Lord and giver of life who died and rose again from the dead, when we see Jesus like Mary did on that Easter Sunday morning, then we start to ask ourselves a different question. We ask ourselves, how much more can I get? How often can I hear Jesus' life-giving words for me? How often can I get connected with the people of God? And we don't ask ourselves how much is enough. We ask ourselves, how much can I get? Because if you are giving me a choice between life and death, I'm going to take as much life as I can get. So stay connected with the Lord. Stay connected with the people of God every week, whether it's here or somewhere else, doesn't matter to me. But make sure that you are hearing Jesus' words of life. Make sure that you are receiving Jesus' words of life. And let me say this too. If you're sitting out there, and maybe you're just here today with family, maybe you're here with family and you're here because it's Easter and that's what you do with your family on Easter, but you're sitting there and you're really thinking, yeah, Pastor, that all sounds good, but I don't buy it. Or maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking that, come on, aren't these just stories? This didn't really happen. Or maybe that you are thinking, all this really sounds great, death to life and having life in Christ. You're thinking that this all sounds great, but there's something else that Christians do or say. There's something else that Christians believe that makes you think you can't be a part of this community. If that describes you, then let me invite you, well, to talk to me. I would love to listen to you as long as you want to talk. I am a good listener, and I would love to talk to you too. I'll even buy you a coffee or some other kind of drink, whatever's appropriate. Because the truth is that many people have doubts about Jesus, and that's okay. But if you have doubts about Jesus, then let's seek the truth together. Don't let it sit, because I believe that the difference between Christ and the world is the difference between life and death. So don't wait. Talk to me today. Give me a call anytime. You have my phone number and my email address on all of your bulletins today. Please, talk to me. Now, let me just end by saying that all of this matters. All of this matters for you and me today for one reason. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Hey, let's stand.